Now, New Zealand is sending 30 troops to Britain to train Ukrainian soldiers on how to use the L-119 light artillery gun. It's a type of howitzer. About 230 Ukraine soldiers will be trained. The gesture may put this country closer to the Eastern European conflict, but it won't be causing any major sparks to fly between the country's two major political parties. National Foreign Affairs spokesperson Gerry Brownlee joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Karen.
Yeah, this move, it's another step in New Zealand's response. You would be broadly supportive.
Yes, I think it's part of the proportionate response that New Zealand has contributed to the efforts of the Ukraine military to defeat Russia so far.
What do you make of the resources that New Zealand has to offer here? I mean, it's convenient and useful that we've got something that they want.
Well, what they want is the trainer expertise. So the military equipment is being provided from all around the world, all being organised through Great Britain. And I think it's the ability of us to be able to send highly trained New Zealand troops who can pass on that training to Ukraine soldiers. Now, that's the real value. And I think, you know, we've got a good reputation for high-quality training, which, you know, everyone saw in Iraq. And this is a good thing that we can contribute.
How would you describe New Zealand's position now with the Ukraine conflict? We're obviously not neutral. Are we at war? What would you describe it as?
No one else has declared war on Russia. But we are very clearly supporting a country that has been invaded as they have and is suffering the huge wrath of, or capacity, I should say, of the Russian military, and actually doing quite a good job of fending them off so far. Hopefully they can defeat that. And that's a different thing to actually openly declaring war on a country.
Bigger picture, is this a sign of an increased closeness to our traditional allies?
I think we've always been close, despite the ANZUS disagreement of the 1980s. I think if you look at all the conflicts that have been around the world where democracy has been under threat, freedom have been under threat, we've been alongside our traditional allies in all of those cases, except for the original invasion of Iraq. And I think that's sometimes lost sight of. So we've never really been right out of it.
But we're not part of AUKUS, we're not part of the Quad. Should we be?
Those are things that I think, from our perspective, are a little bit concerning. AUKUS, Australia, UK and United Kingdom, it's something that I think we could have been part of. I think the nuclear submarine aspect of it was probably part of the reason why we weren't considered, because of our nuclear stance. That's not going to change anytime soon. That's something all New Zealanders are proud of. But there are aspects of it around cyber, et cetera, that I think we could have contributed on. And maybe we'll have that opportunity in the future.
So we could be a partner of sorts, an add-on or something?
Well, we're a dialogue partner, for example, in NATO. We're a similar position with ASEAN. That's not an unusual sort of position. But the difference here with the Ukraine is that that conflict is starting to affect far more countries in the world than might have originally been thought, particularly when you start to look at the effects of disruption in food supply, potential famine in some countries as a result of the Ukraine's grain crop being locked up by the Russians through their blockade and the war itself.
Mm. If we look closer to home, this new Indo-Pacific framework, is that encouraging? Is it a step towards a free trade deal that presumably you'd like to see?
It needs to be better explained, I think. At the moment, it's a fairly ethereal concept. It's about the US wanting to be more influential in the Indo-Pacific area, recognising that they have a role to play in the Pacific and in the Indian Ocean, recognising, I think, the strength of India and Japan, and you're seeing that through the Quad. But it's a little bit ill-described at the moment, or undescribed, whatever you want to say. It's very hard to put a finger on it and say, well, this is what it means. Mm. We've said, and I think appropriately, that we want to be part of it, certainly want to be in those discussions. But I think any hope that there might be some trade preferment come out of it anytime soon is a little forlorn, given the state of the US Congress.
Indeed. What about the strategic elements? And should we, in fact, just try and join the Quad if they'd have us?
I think that's something that, you know, would need to be looked at a little bit more. I think that last part of your question is the bit that we'd have to understand a heck of a lot more before we started even talking about it.
You don't think they want us?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's something we'd have to have a better understanding of.
But you do think it's worth exploring, trying to be part of that? Is that in our interests?
I think when you're looking at a world that is so, you know, very disrupted at the moment, not only through the pandemic, but now increasingly disrupted economies and the effect of the Ukraine conflict, you do have to be very clear that we sit in these things. And I think that's something that could be looked at alongside the arrangements that the Quad presents.
It might make some a little nervous when we look at President Biden's comments overnight suggesting that the US would help defend Taiwan militarily. Now, I know the White House has walked that back, but nonetheless, he did sort of suggest that. Is there a risk we would get dragged into wider Asian conflicts?
He answered very directly when asked, would the US defend Taiwan from a mainland attack similar to that of Russia against Ukraine? And he said yes. He also, though, stated that the US respects the one China policy, looks to have the two systems. And I think it's sometimes too easy to sort of assume that China is an inevitable enemy. I think if you look at the economic interconnections between countries these days, including the US, where they're starting to think about undoing some of the sanctions that, or the tariff arrangements, I should say, that that President Trump put on, because it's starting to affect their own economy, you can see that there is still a long way to go before you get to conflict. There's a lot of discussion that's going to be had, and I think while the answer he gave might have sounded a little alarming, I think it just states a position that's been there since 1949.
Jerry Brownlee, thank you very much for your time. That is National Foreign Affairs spokesperson with us there.